Take your Bibles, please, and open up to the 23rd Psalm. Now, it's been a week or so since we've been here, so let's go back. We've been trying to memorize the Psalm together, right? And we've been using the King James Version, since most of us know it that way already anyway. So now we're down to verse 4, which says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's see if we can start up at verse 1, which says, "The Lord's my shepherd." Let's see if we can work our way down. All right, you ready? You'll pardon me if I look down because I got to be careful. If I don't get it right, I mess everybody up. Okay, here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Great. Hey, that we're making progress. And we'll learn the last two verses before we're done. This evening we want to talk about verse 4, which says that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, when I was a child, I used to lay in bed at night, and the room was all dark, you know, and all dim. And I'd hear a noise, or I'd hear a creak, and I would see out of the corner of my eye something I was sure was moving in that room. And I'd wonder if there was some horrible creature maybe under my bed, you know, just waiting to reach up and grab me. In fact, I'll tell you, when I was a child, I always slept with my arms like this. Because if you let your arm hang over the bed, folks, that's exactly how these monsters grab kids, and they pull them under the bed, and you never see them again the rest of their lives. That's true. You know that? At least I thought it was. And even today, I don't know, maybe I'm schizophrenic or something, but I still am uncomfortable when any part of me is hanging out of the bed. Because you just never know what's under the bed, you know what I'm saying? And I'd stare at my closet. Man, I'd lay there and I'd stare at that closet. I wouldn't take my eyes off that closet because I wanted to make sure if something popped out that closet that I had maximum time to get out the room. And I would. I'd lay there and just stare at that old closet until I finally drifted off. Man, I was afraid. I don't mind telling you. And I hated going to sleep at night. And I hated turning the light out because I was scared in that dark room. My dad used to deal with this quite simply. He used to say, "Son, I'll be right in the next room. If anything attacks you, just give me a call." And that really did help. It really did help a lot. I'd lay there in bed and I'd think to myself, "Now, if some green, hairy, one-eyed, slobbering monster comes out of that closet, I'm going to call my dad to come in here and take care of him." It never really occurred to me that a green, slimy, slobbering, one-eyed monster would destroy my dad. But that didn't occur to me. Somehow the idea that my dad coming in was all I needed to hear. And sometimes, just to be sure, I'd yell out as I lay in bed, "Hey, Dad, are you still out there?" And he'd say back, "Yes, I am. Now relax and go to sleep." Does that sound familiar, folks? Sure it does. You know, it was the presence of my father that made all the difference in how I faced the shadows of that room. And you know, life's so funny. Isn't life funny? Because now we repeat this thing, except now I've switched roles. Now it's my children saying, "Dad, where are you going to be?" And they, when I turn the light out in a room, they say, "Dad, where are you going?" And they want to know exactly where I am. Why? Because they're laying there scared that some green, hairy, one-eyed monster is going to grab them. And hey, I appreciate that. And I bet you do too. Man, it's scary in a dark room when you're a little kid. Fear, folks, we know what it's like. Every one of us know what it's like. To be afraid is a feeling that every human being has experienced. Sometimes the fears are not real. Sometimes they're imaginary, like mine were as a little boy. In fact, I heard a man say one time, 90% of the things we'll worry about this year will never happen. And that's true. But you know what? Even though the danger is not real, the fear still is. It's real. And then there are those times when the fear is real because the danger is real. Those are real times. Maybe when there's illness or there's financial need, maybe you're looking financial disaster right in the face, and there's fear there. Maybe you have a child in trouble, on drugs or in some kind of trouble. Maybe you've got someone who's at work who's out to get you, or somebody in the neighborhood out to get you, or you lose your job, or you're doing poorly in school, or your parents are splitting up, or you're struggling in your career, or you're about to get married, or you're about to have your first child, or you are pregnant and carrying a child, and you're scared a little bit about what may happen. Maybe your car is making funny noises. That's fear, folks, for me. Fear. Either way, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether the fear is real or imaginary. The solution is exactly the same that God offers you and me as Christians. And that is, He doesn't offer us a solution that takes away the danger, whether real or imaginary. God offers us a solution that brings to bear on our life the presence of the shepherd. That's the solution, not the absence of danger, but the presence of the shepherd. This is what Psalm 23 verse 4 is all about. Man, this verse has given strength to many a saint lying on a deathbed. This verse has given strength to many a Christian going through rough times, brought hope to their life. Probably it's one of the most loved verses in all the Bible. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. We want to talk about it tonight, and I believe God really wants to encourage your heart tonight as you see what He's really trying to tell you here. So let's look at it. I want to split it up into three parts. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, you know, in the ancient Near East, shepherds in the summertime would lead their flocks out of winter home. They would have a winter home, and they would have a nice little house where the shepherd would stay. And they would have a barnyard where the sheep would stay, and they'd be all fenced in, and they would give them feed. But in the summertime, a shepherd would take his sheep, and they would leave this area, and they would head up into the high country where the summer had brought vegetation out on the hillsides. It was free food, and it was good food. And so the shepherd would take his sheep out, and up they would go. And during this summer grazing time, the flock was entirely alone with the shepherd all the time. He would walk with them during the day. He would bed down with them at night. He would never let them out of their sight, out of his sight. You remember when Samuel wanted to anoint David as king? And you remember they sent to his house and they said, tell David to come. And you remember David wasn't home. Where was he? He was out, Jesse said, tending my sheep on the hill. So they had to send and get him. Why? Because when you took the sheep out, you didn't live out of the house. You lived up on the mountainside with the sheep. And that's where David was. The reason they didn't parade him in front of Samuel in the first place is because he wasn't home. He was up in the hills. And the flocks would move from field to field by way of the valleys. That's how they'd move. They wouldn't move by the hills. They'd move by the valleys. Because the valleys had the easiest roads to walk. There were the gentlest grades. And also they were the most well-watered routes, and they had the best food. But while passing through the valleys, the flock was exposed to all kinds of danger. There were natural dangers, storms, mudslides, rock slides, hail, flash floods that would sweep through the valleys in this area. There were robbers who would lie in wait in these valleys. And there were all kinds of predators who would take cover in the hills and would plot how they were going to prey on these sheep. In fact, the area between Bethlehem and the Dead Sea where David tended his father's flock is a place full of danger. David knew all about this. And yet it says, yea, though I walk through the valley. See, they didn't run through the valley because they weren't afraid. And the reason they weren't afraid is because they knew the valley was just a place they were going through. They weren't going to camp there. They weren't going to stop there. They weren't going to linger there. The valley was just a pathway to higher ground. It occurred to me as I was studying this that as God's sheep, there are going to be valleys for every one of us. You know that? It's going to happen. The valley of the shadow of death just doesn't mean those valleys where we're dying. I mean, you're only going to have one of them. But I believe that what God is talking about and what David is talking about is any kind of dark, any kind of difficult experience of life, anything that's unknown and threatening and precarious and dangerous, like a valley was to these sheep, we're going to have those things. Jesus warned us we would. He said, John chapter 16, in the world you shall have tribulation. He said in Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I have learned in working with Christians that most Christians don't like valleys. Have you noticed that? Man, we don't like them. We want to go from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop by helicopter, folks. We want God to pick us up and zoom us over and let us off. It doesn't work that way. Because between every two mountaintops, when you walk with God, is a valley. That's normal, old geography. And that's the way God runs things. And yet, you know, for taking the word of people who have spent a lot of time in valleys, valleys can often be very precious places. You know that? Oftentimes, the grass is the greenest in the valley. And oftentimes, the presence of the shepherd is most real in the valley. And many a Christian has reaped more joy in the valley than they reaped on the mountaintop. And many a Christian has learned more about God in the valley than they learned up on the hillside. The valleys are inevitable, folks, and yet they're not bad things necessarily. There's no reason to fear them if we understand the remedy God's giving us for the valley. And that's the second part of this. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will, and so will I. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God didn't say there wasn't danger. But he said he was with us. Now the issue here in this verse is protection. That's what we're really talking about. The issue in verse 2 was the restoration of our soul. He restores my soul. And the issue in verse 3 was guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The issue here is protection. God protects his sheep. Sheep are very timid. Sheep, the only reason that the sheep had the confidence to walk through the valley slowly and leisurely is because of the fact that the shepherd was with them every moment. Whatever danger might arise, he would handle it. He knew the way. He would get them through. It was the presence of the shepherd that calmed all of their fears. And as Christians, I want to say to you that God offers us that very same security. You want to know what security you've got going through the valleys? It's only one thing, and that is, thou art with me. That's the only security God offers. But folks, that's the only security you need. That's why it's all God gives you, because it's all you need. To say, for thou art with me, is the joy and the confidence of every Christian. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always to the ends of the world. Hebrews 13, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do to me. Why? Because Jesus said he'd be there. And in Isaiah 41, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, I am with thee. And you know, throughout the ages, when people were scared, you know what God said to them? Look through the Bible. Whenever anybody was scared, you know what God said? God said, hey, I'm with you. Listen, how about Abraham? Genesis 26, God appeared to Abraham and he said, Abraham, fear not, for I am with thee. How about Jacob? When God told him to go back and face Esau, and Jacob said, God, do you know, Esau is going to kill me. And God said to him, fear not, I will be with you. How about Caleb? I love what he said. The Israelites were so afraid to go in the land. You remember that. And they were scared of all the inhabitants of the land. And Caleb, Numbers 14, stands up and says, do not fear the people of the land. Why? For the Lord is with us. That was the comfort. And the people entering the land with Joshua, the Bible says to them, when you go out to battle and you see that the enemy is greater in number than you, do not be afraid. Why? For the Lord is with you. Deuteronomy 20. And how about the people who, when God asked them to do something, they said, I can't do that. It's too great for me. I'm not able to do that. Don't ask me to do that. I can't pull that off, you know. What did God say to every one of those guys? What did he say to Moses? He said, certainly I will be with you. What did he say to Gideon when Gideon said that? He said, surely I will be with you. When Joshua said that, he said to him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And when Jehoshaphat was surrounded by an army and God told him to go out and lead his troops out, even though they were outnumbered and on the human level they had no chance, God said to him, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, for I will be with you. Folks, that's what God has always said to anybody who's afraid or anybody who feels incompetent to do what God asked. He didn't give these people a psychological lecture. He didn't give them a book to read. He didn't tell them there would not be danger. He simply said to every one of them, no matter what happens, I will be with you. And that's all they needed. And that's all you and I need, folks. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how rough it is. I don't care how scary it is. I don't care how perplexing it is. I don't care how difficult the time may be. God gives every one of us the very same hope, and that is, I am with you. So don't be afraid, because I'm right here. Just like my dad would say, hey, son, I'm right here. Now relax, would you? There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, you can't say that to people unless you've got a lot of power to back it up. You know that? You better be ready to back that up. And that leads us to our third and final part of this verse. It says, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Watch, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, what in the world does that mean? You know what it means? What it really means is that God has the equipment necessary to do the job. You see, I look at God and I say, God, gee, that's sure nice that you tell me you're with me, but how do I know that you being with me makes any difference? I mean, you might be with me and somebody might overcome both of us. So what good is that? I mean, green hairy monsters could have eaten my dad up. I know that now. Wasn't much comfort knowing he was in the other room. He comes in, the green hairy monster chews us both up. So how much real comfort was that? Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I believed at that time my dad could handle anything. Now, he couldn't. He was just a man. But I'll tell you something. God can. His rod and his staff prove it. What are these things? The rod was a club-like weapon. It was a big club. Oftentimes, there would even be nails in one end of it. And little shepherds, from the time they were just little shepherd boys, would practice using their club. And they got to the point where they could throw it with incredible accuracy, and where they became so able in the use of this thing. And they would not use it on the sheep. They did not use the rod on the sheep. The rod was for the purpose of protecting the sheep against enemies. I think of David. You know what David said to Saul? He said, when a bear or a lion came and took one of the sheep, I went out and I took him by the beard and I hit him. I used to think that he hit him with his hand. I don't know why I thought that. But I don't know. I just thought he slugged this bear. And I thought, man, this was really some guy. He didn't hit him with his hand, folks. He hit him with his club. He hit him with his rod. That's what David went out after this bear with. That's what he went out with, against the lion with. And when he got a hold of him, he hit him with the club and he killed him. And sheep know, as long as that shepherd has his rod in his hand, they can relax. Because he has all the firepower that he needs to protect them. You know, I was thinking that we as God's sheep can take comfort in the fact that God has a rod too. You know that? In fact, the Bible calls it a rod of iron that he has. A rod consisting of his omnipotence, a rod consisting of his irresistible will that no creature in the universe can resist. Nebuchadnezzar said, God's is an everlasting kingdom, and all the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stop his hand or say to him, what do you think you're doing? That's a big rod. And anything God wants to happen will happen. And there is no trouble you're in. There is no danger you face. There is no problem you have. There is no enemy coming against you that the rod of God cannot deal with. It's an almighty rod. God can handle the protection of his sheep from without. But you know, sheep not only get in trouble from without, folks. Sheep have an incredible ability to get in trouble by themselves. They don't even need a lion. They don't need a bear. They don't need snakes. They don't need robbers. Sheep can get in trouble all by themselves. They really can. They can get entangled in brambles and stuck in the bushes and wander off to the edge of cliffs, and they can get lost so they can't find their way back. Man, they can do a lot of things all by themselves to get in trouble. And so the shepherd also has another piece of equipment. He not only has a rod, but he's got a staff. And you know what a staff looks like. It's a long pole with a little crook at the top. And this is what the shepherd used on the sheep. He used it if they got in the middle of the brambles, he'd reach out there and grab them around the neck and pull them on out. If they got too close to the cliff, he'd reach on out and pull them on out. If they started to wander off where they shouldn't, he'd reach on out with that thing and grab them and pull them right back on in. And that is as important a part of the protection that the shepherd offered as the rod, because it wasn't always an outside enemy that was the problem. Sometimes it was the enemy inside those sheep that was the problem. And so not only does the rod comfort, but the staff comforts, because it means that God promises that he's going to keep me from wandering off. And he, when I get myself in trouble, he's going to reach out with his staff and he's going to deliver me. You say, well, what is the staff of God? I understand the rod of God, the omnipotence of God, the power of God. What's the staff of God? Well, I don't know that I know all of what the staff of God is, but I'll tell you, I think a big part of it is the angels God assigns to you and me. Did you know you had an angel assigned to you? Did you know that? Maybe some of us have more because we need more than one. I don't know. I have a son who I think has a whole corps. But anyway, angels are. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 that they are ministering spirits sent to render service for those who will inherit salvation, that is Christians. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talking about the little ones, and people argue whether the little ones meant children or the little ones meant his disciples, but either way, it doesn't make any difference to what I want to say, because he went on to say, I say to you that their angels continually behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. Now, I know we don't think about it much, but when you drive down the Beltway, there's an angel, which is good, riding right along, keeping you out of trouble. And everywhere you go and everything you do, there is an angel that is watching over and delivering you. That's why children survive, folks. I don't see how any of them survive. But the reason they actually make it and grow up is because an angel helped them, or they'd never make it. I believe that. And you know, God says that he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands lest you strike your foot upon the stone. They will protect you from the lion and from the serpent. And I believe they're part of the staff ministry of God to our lives, keeping us in line, helping us when we get out of line, hemming us in and moving us along and protecting us even from ourselves. Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And in Genesis 24, Abraham said to his servant, don't be afraid, God's going to send his angel in front of you. And in Exodus 14, we find that there was an angel who went before the children of Israel and hemmed them in and led them. And when they got to the Red Sea, moved behind them to protect them against the Egyptians. And in 1 Kings 19, you remember when Elijah was having all those problems. It was an angel that came and ministered strength to him. And in Zechariah chapter 3, the high priest Joshua, the Bible says there was an angel standing next to him to defend him from the accusations of the enemy. And I believe, at least in part, that the angel God has assigned to you is part of his supernatural staff for your life. Some of us work our angels overtime. Some of us are easy on our angels. It just depends on your personality. But either way, they're there to walk along and protect you and help you. Now, where does all this leave us? All right, we're going to walk through some valleys. All right, God's going to be with us. All right, God's got a rod, his omnipotence, and he's got some staffs, angels to protect us. So what? Well, you know the response of the great man of God, David, to all of this? It's summed up in three little words. I will trust. You know, everywhere you read David in the Bible talking about God, he always says the same things about him, doesn't he? I will trust. Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Psalm 27, the Lord is the defense of my life. I'm going to put my trust in him. Who am I going to be afraid of? Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, trust me. Folks, to fear no evil in the valley of the shadow of death is the inheritance of every Christian. And the secret to making it yours is I will trust. God's promise to be with me. God's promise to defend me. God's promise to preserve me. Now, I will trust God to do that very thing. And I want to challenge you, knowing Psalm 23 verse 4 is no good. It's no good to know it if you're not willing to trust the God who made the promise. And many of us know it. We have people read it to us when we're going through trial. We read it ourselves. We repeat it. But many of us, when we come to the point of having to let go and just trust God, that's where we run into problems. Folks, listen. If God said he'd protect you, he will. If God said he'd be with you, he will. Trust him. Trust him. And God will see you through, just like the shepherd saw his sheep through. You know, I survived. I grew up. Nothing ever jumped out under the bed and got me. Nothing ever came out of the closet that I know of. It might have come out when I was sleeping. But while I was awake, it never came out. And you know what? I'll tell you something. Those are precious memories, thinking of laying there in bed and saying, well, no matter what comes out of that closet, my dad's in the other room. I'm going to trust him. Folks, when you step onto the shore of heaven, you're going to turn around and say, hey, I made it. Can you believe that? Look at this. I made it. And you're going to have some precious memories, believe me, if you're willing to trust Jesus, of looking back and saying, yep, boy, I remember. I remember being so scared I didn't know what to do. And I remember trusting God. And what a great memory that God saw me through. May God encourage you. I know some of you in the middle of great struggle. May I encourage you? God said he'd be with you. He said he'd protect you. Trust him. Trust him. And he'll do what he said. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much tonight that you've made us a great promise. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are going to be with us if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray tonight, especially for those of us who are right in the middle of the valley right now, that you would reassure our hearts, Lord, that you would encourage our spirits, Lord, that you would give us hope tonight, Lord, that even though we can't see where the valley is going to come out, you, the shepherd, can see. And even though, Lord, we can see the monsters up on the hillside and the predators and all the enemies and everything that could go wrong and it scares us, God, you are with us to lead us through. And your rod is able to protect. And your staff is able to make sure we stay in line and on the path. Lord, I pray that you would help us trust you, every one of us. Not to ask all the questions that there's no answers for. Lord, not to ask you to do things to prove yourself to us. Just to trust you, Lord. Simply trusting every day. That's what you want us to do. Thank you for your promise, Lord. And I pray you would work in each one of our lives and teach us that trusting Jesus, that is all. That's all you ask for from us, Lord. And if we're willing to do it, that's all you need to meet every need of our life. We commit ourselves to you, Father. Use the word of God to encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.